It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Welcome back for our segment two. In our Bible study segment today, Connie Stanfill has joined us back at the table. She's our teacher for the Gospel of Mark. Connie, what will we be learning about today?
Well, we're going to have a teaching of Jesus about divorce in answer to the Pharisees' question, and then he's going to teach us some more about children and childlike faith. So, good lesson. We are in Mark chapter 10, and I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 16, but I will take the section first, verses 1 through 12, which have to do with Jesus' answer to the Pharisees' question about divorce. 10 verse 1, and he went there and went to the region of Judea and beyond the Jordan, and crowds gathered to him again. And again, as was his custom, he taught them. And Pharisees came up and in order to test him asked, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? He answered them, what did Moses command you? They said, Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce and to send her away. And Jesus said to them, because of your hardness of heart, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. And in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. And he said to them, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. All right, well, we're going to go back up to the first verse of this section and talk about it verse by verse. Verse 1, it says, and he left there, meaning Capernaum, where he'd just been, and went to the region of Judea and beyond the Jordan. And so we know that from the other Gospels, he's actually on the east side of the Jordan in an area called Perea. In Luke, it tells us that he tried to go through Samaria, but the Samaritans wouldn't let him. And so he took the more indirect route toward Jerusalem, which is in the south. And it says, and crowds gathered to him again. And again, as was his custom, he taught them. And so we find that even though Jesus is on the journey to Jerusalem, to his death and burial and resurrection, he is still teaching the crowds. And this is a crowd that's on the east side of the Jordan River. Verse 2, it says, and Pharisees came up and in order to test him asked. And so again, the religious leaders are looking for a reason to have a charge against Jesus, to have him become unpopular with the people, to have him get in trouble with the religious authorities. And because they're asking him about divorce, it reminds us again of John the Baptist and how he had called out Herod on his unlawful marriage to his brother's wife. But the Pharisees say, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? And it's kind of those questions they're hoping to trap him, because if he says yes, then there's some things people could have against him. And if he says no, then they could point to scripture. And so Jesus always asked them a question. He said to them, he answered them, what did Moses command you? And so the leaders had to refer to what Moses had said in Deuteronomy, and the scripture is there in the study guide, but it's from Deuteronomy 24, verses 1 to 4. It says, when a man takes his wife and marries her, if then she finds no favor in his eyes because he has found some indecency in her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce and puts it in her hand and sends her out of his house, and she departs out of his house, and if she goes and becomes another man's wife, and the latter man hates her and writes her a certificate of divorce and puts it in her hand and sends her out of his house, or if the latter man dies, who took her to be his wife, then her former husband who sent her away may not take her again to be his wife after she's been defiled, for this is an abomination before the Lord, and you shall not bring sin upon the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance. And so the law, we find out that Moses allowed a man to divorce his wife. And again, it's the man can write the certificate of divorce. But if we look at the context and all what's going on, it, in a sense, it really was a protection for the woman, because that certificate of divorce then allowed her to marry again and to be provided for. If she truly was an adulteress, the law said she was supposed to be stoned. And so we don't know exactly what the condition of indecency was, but part of what the Pharisees are asking is, under what conditions can a woman be divorced? And at least in the writings of that time, some of the Jewish writings, it was even if she burned toast, she could be divorced. And so definitely that was not God's intention at all. And Jesus goes on and he expands it more, and he really talks about God's design for marriage and what's important. In verse 5, Jesus says, "And Jesus said to them, because of your hardness of heart, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female." And so that takes us back to Genesis, when God created man and woman. And Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created him." And so we find that from the beginning, when God created the human race, he created men and women as distinct individuals, as distinct people. And so we find marriage has to do with male and female, a man and a woman. And then Jesus also says, "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." So they're no longer two, but one flesh. And so Jesus is again quoting from Genesis, and this is Genesis 2:24, where God's word says, "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And so again, that marriage relationship has to do with sexual intimacy, but also sexual faithfulness, and they are to be together. Actually, the way God has intended forever, it's indissoluble. It can't be divorced. It can't be pulled apart because it become one flesh. And so that's what God's design was for a man and a woman to be married before him in a covenant that would last as long as their lives lasted. And obviously the Pharisees have evil intent because they're kind of trying to get at the nitpicky details of what could allow for a divorce. And also really their whole intention, as we know, is to get Jesus into trouble and to test him. And then Jesus also says, "What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." And that truly is God's intention. As we look at elsewhere in the Old Testament, in Psalms and Proverbs, again, it talks about holding fast to the wife of your youth. And in Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, we find out that God hates divorce and that he wasn't listening to the prayers of the men who had divorced their wives because of that sin. And so Jesus is affirming what the what God's intention was in marriage, and then how Moses had allowed divorce because of their hardness of heart, but it was not God's design. Then we find in verse 10 that the disciples ask him about that because they're trying to understand, what does this mean? Because this seems to be a hard thing. Verse 10 says, "And in the house the disciples asked him again about this matter. And he said to them, whoever divorces his wife, or whoever releases his wife and marries another, commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." And so Jesus is saying, you sin if you remarry after you have been married to one person. Interestingly enough, we know the Jews didn't allow women to divorce their husbands, although Roman law did allow that. And so we do find again that the example of Herod, who had married his brother's wife, Herodias, and then the whole mess with John the Baptist. But we find that this was not the way God wanted it to be. And truly, as we think about marriage and as we consider what else we learn in Scripture, and especially in Ephesians 5, verses 22 to 33, Paul writes about marriage and tells us that marriage is to be a picture of Christ and the church, and just how Christ is completely faithful to his church. He died for her church, for his church. He will never leave her. That is how the marriage relationship is supposed to be. And so God's word tells us things that our culture doesn't believe anymore, doesn't accept. But if we follow Jesus, we take him at his word, and we understand God designed things in a certain way for our good, for our benefit. And if we're truly following Jesus, we lay down some of the rights we think we have, or the rights that our culture tells us about independence and self-determination and wanting things to be a certain way. And so as we consider this whole teaching about marriage and divorce, may we start to really look at it the way God's word speaks of it, and to honor marriage, and to realize that this really, truly, as it says in Ephesians 5, is a picture of Christ and the church. And may we represent God well by how we do that. Then we're going to conclude this section today where we're looking at another teaching segment where Jesus again talked about another group of people. And so I'm going to read that section to us, which is Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 16, and then we'll discuss it. 13 says, "And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, 'Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it.' And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. Up there in verse 10, it says, when they were bringing children to him. This is a different word, Greek word for children than the one we just studied about the little one he sat on his lap. This actually can mean children up through adolescence. And so a little bit could be a little bit older people. And it says that he might touch them. And really the understanding is that he's doing that to bless them. And we find out that the disciples rebuked the people bringing the children. They rebuked the children because they didn't want Jesus to spend time with them. Or again, I'm assuming that they didn't think that these people were important for Jesus to interact with. And verse 14 says, but when Jesus saw it, he was indignant. And this is a very strong word. It's only in Mark. Mark gives us little glimpses of Jesus's emotion and how he feels about things. And so he is angry because of this. And he said to them, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Really, it means start allowing the children to come to me and stop preventing them from coming to me. And so he's strongly saying, I'm here for them. Don't get in the way of that. And then he says, truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And so he's teaching them that to be his disciple, to come into the kingdom of God, to become a child of God, really has to do with receiving that kingdom of God as a gift, but in the sense of being a humble, trusting, dependent child. Because when we receive salvation, it's not because we've earned it, and it's not because we're good enough, and it's not because we're wonderful people. It's because God chose to give it to us. And it can only be received in childlike trust and humility. And so that's why there's example of children here, and they're the ones who trust and depend, and they just want to be with Jesus and give him a hug. And the disciples are the ones who are making divisions and being critical and thinking these people don't belong. They're not worthy. And so in verse 16, it says, and he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. And I find that a beautiful picture of Jesus as a compassionate, loving person who reached out to and truly welcomed all people to him. As we consider what Jesus has been teaching his disciples over these past couple days, it's turning the world upside down. It's not the world of status and power and position. It's the world of humility and trust in God and depending upon God. And so as we consider how he interacted with people and what he was teaching his disciples, may we also be like them to receive that gift of salvation and to then treat others the way we've been treated.
Oh, Connie, thank you. And may we also be willing to have our worlds turned upside down, ladies. All the Bible study notes that you'll find for this lesson, which, by the way, is lesson number 35, you can find those on our website at naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be right back with more.